Blog Talk Radio.
What up, world? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Bloody Knuckle Show. I know it's been a while, but your boy's been hustling. And to be honest, it is good to be back. What great games we just saw in the NCAA tournament. College basketball officially did it again with a great tournament. Maybe it's not the final we all wanted to see, but goddamn, was it fun along the way. And, of course, tonight, first off, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say, it's great to be back on air. But tonight,
oh yeah,
we're going to, you know, of course, we started as an MMA show. You all know that we've kind of dived into other sports. We're going to go all basketball tonight. And on the line with me tonight, I got the king of Rochester, the original coach of the Buffalo Braves, the man who came out and told Michael Jordan what to say in his speech when he drove North Carolina to the national championship this year, when he said the ceiling is the roof. It is Michael Jordan, speech writer, the motherfucker that comes through. He is the fighter. He is the igniter. He is the man that will lock you in a damn cage. Plus, he's a king like the dude who beat Rampage. He's from Bellator to the UFC. Plus, the fact he motherfucking floats around and sings like a bee. Nick Diaz, middle fingers up. Don't give a fuck. It's Andrew, king of the rock, Meredith. What's up, homie?
Yo, yo, yo. What it do? And to add one thing, to add that, you know, sting like a bee, and your boy is single as of this week. I am free.
Yes,
but
sir.
Enough of the prayer. I had to make a move. You know, for fans of the show, you know, I was in a little relationship for a while. Things weren't going, you know, great with it. To be honest, Ryan, I wanted to end things with the girl back in February, but Valentine's Day and there was a birthday, so I had to wait. I waited, and plus I was kind of being a scumbag, you know. I was getting some punani, and I wasn't really, you know, getting it from anyone else at the time. I was in a little drought, you know, but things were getting more and more serious. And I officially pulled the plug. I got some freedom. I am excited about that. You know, so I sent her packing like Oregon got sent packing tonight. Ryan, real quick, or King Mo got sent Rampage packing last night, Ryan. So, yeah, real quick, though, you know, Bass, nah, fuck it. I'm not even going to bring up an MMA question for you. Let's talk about the tournament. It's been crazy. Ryan, one thing I did want to add, what you said about it, you know, this isn't the matchup we all wanted, but to the defense, we are getting two number one seeds. We are getting two very talented teams, and the matchup could have been a lot worse. You know, we are getting Gonzaga against North Carolina. Kind of reminded me last year, you know, you're getting Villanova against North Carolina, a team that's, you know, consistently very good in Gonzaga, but, you know, they always kind of get that Boise State effect. You know, they play in a weak conference. They're not that good. This is the first year they ever made it to the Final Four. I mean, this team was 32-1, but, you know, they play a weak schedule. You know what I mean? How good are they?
Yeah.
I mean, they're a good team, but we're about to find out, you know, will they be able to do like Villanova finally did, finally break through, and, you know, are people going to put some respect, R-E-S-P-E-S-K, on their name, you know, somewhere fucking...
Yeah.
As Birdman would say, somewhere Adam Morrison is, I think he's salty, Ryan. He wanted to be the person that did this. But, you know, Gonzaga, UNC, a couple questions to throw at you real quick, Dr. Edwards style. You know, Dr. Edwards,
yes,
we might have to treat this one like an interview because Ryan is the basketball master. But, Ryan, couple things. One, overall from an excitement level, how excited are you? Because, I mean, this does look like a pretty, you know, it's two number one seeds, two of the most talented teams in the country. So how excited are you with it? Who do you think has the edge going into the game? And number three, what is your X factor? I know, you know, one thing you're talking about was Gonzaga, who you're favoring. They're big men. They have a huge advantage with the big guys. I know the Hawks are targeting that big-ass white dude, as, you know, as the Hawks always, you know.
Yeah.
We target a big-ass white guy again. Another fucking power forward, but won't get me ranting and raving on that. But, you know, so let me just get, you know, what are you excited? Who do you think has the edge? Who, you know, so let me get just overall general synopsis of this matchup.
Let me start out with, I'm excited. It's a national title game, but it's not Clemson, Alabama to me in football.
Yeah.
It's not, to me, almost the national title was.
Could have been worse, dude. It could have been Oregon, Gonzaga. I don't know. It could have
been
South Carolina, fucking Oregon, or some shit.
I was going to get to it. I love the matchup, but I was going to say I still think Kentucky might have been the best team in the nation.
Yeah,
not the best coach team in the nation. And I think that Kentucky-Carolina game is going to be hard to top just on a talent.
Fucking May. The fucking white dude with the fucking eyeliner just ruining everything. weirdo.
To me, I look at it, these two teams, first off, if Gonzaga was undefeated, this might be one of the biggest games of all time. That's something I think we all really missed out on. I think Gonzaga should be undefeated. And
Who did they lose to?
BYU.
Oh, the Mormons fucking shit up for use.
The fighting for death. I think Gonzaga proved tonight that they belong. I really had no hype in Gonzaga. I thought they had kind of a free ride. And then I finally watched them in depth tonight, and they're one of the most complete teams I've seen in the nation. And, Andrew, really what they do is they get transfers from all over the country. If you look at their team, a lot of their team wasn't recruited to Gonzaga, but it's guys that were programs, that went over. Then they have that East freshman from Las Vegas inside. But, I'm excited for the matchup. I like it. It's the redemption for North Carolina. You have the big blue blood program, and you have Gonzaga, who, you know, this will be huge if they can win it. Secondly, the question was, I know the third one was.
So excited. Who do you think has the edge going into the matchup?
I think the edge to me. Oh, man, it's tough to say this. I'm going to say
Gonzaga.
It is.
That's a tough one. Ooh.
I'm going to say Gonzaga because the two big men inside, and they have multiple big men on their team that can come in and do things. But the two big men that mostly start, I think the other one comes off the bench. But they're just so refined in their game. And a lot of times tonight I was watching North Carolina, and if Oregon would have had Boucher who got hurt, I think they definitely would have been a lot more effective against North Carolina. Carolina inside, I just don't see, you know, the physical toughness. I see a lot of great athletes. I also got to say an X factor, Andrew, is Joel Berry, the point guard for North Carolina. Is that his name?
I don't know his name, but he is a beast. I know who you're talking about. His name is slipping my mind.
North Carolina fans hate him because there's a really talented guy behind him, and they like when Jackson handles the ball. I think that's when North Carolina's at their best. But he was 2-for-14 tonight, and he had a ton of turnovers. He's also hurt. So if he's not on the top of his game, and for some reason Roy Williams doesn't trust his backup, and he performs like he did tonight, which it's going to be even harder with the big men inside for Gonzaga. He's not going to get those free drives to the basket. I think it's going to be a lot harder for North Carolina to get inside. I think they're going to have to hit their shots. And it just seems like Jackson is the guy that can hit it kind of nonstop. The rest of the team a little iffy. I think Gonzaga has a better, you know, we can go inside-outside game. I think it's going to be tough. So I think he is the X factor. If he shows
up, plays that
game that he, you know, played throughout the season that got him there, then maybe, you know, maybe North Carolina – can even blow the doors off of Gonzaga. Also, Jackson having to guard multiple positions, you might see him even inside guarding the big men. This guy is just so versatile. he's a guy that can take over the game. And, of course, for Gonzaga, it's the big white Viking. You know, he's a monster.
Number 10?
Yeah, the big white Viking. And also the freshman from –
Well, they have a couple of big white dudes. There's the one – there's the big white one with the beard
one.
Who kept – he kept getting blocked. I'm sorry, he was butt cheeks. He kept getting blocked. But number 10 is a fucking baller.
From Las Vegas, the freshman, not the senior.
Yeah,
not
no,
the
freshman.
Not the fat one, the other one.
No,
yeah,
the freshman, yeah, he's sick.
Yeah, I think both of those guys together, I think they just work well together because Tyser or whatever his name is, the freshman, he comes off the bench. And I just think the other guy, he does have a good, you know, he has good post game. He's not a great athlete. But I think when you put those two together, it's hard to stop. So
yeah, definitely.
I think Gonzaga has a lot of edges in this game, but North Carolina has a better athlete, and Roy Williams is tested, so we'll see. But I'm thinking Gonzaga to win this national title.
I like it.
But I want the ACC to win.
I do. See, I'm with you too, Ryan. I'm kind of going back and forth.
Bye-bye, SEC.
And to answer, you know, I guess I'll just quick throw out some answers. For this matchup, I'm pretty excited. On a scale from 9 to 10, I'll give it like an 8. I'm happy we got two number one seeds. I wish it was someone else besides Gonzaga. I've just never been a huge Gonzaga fan. They kind of remind me of the Boise State of college basketball. Moving forward, I guess I would say... probably an 8 of 10. I mean, yeah, there's other teams, but at the end of the day, we have two number one overall seeds. Gonzaga's 32-1. You kind of have the interesting storyline with Gonzaga, the first time they're ever finally able to break through and, you know, make a Final Four, make a championship. You know, they have had a very easy road, but I don't know. I kind of don't like when people say that because, I'm sorry, any team that has made it thus far –
that's
prove they belong.
Eight,
I mean, exactly. We're in the tournament, you know, and I don't care. I know South Carolina was only a 17 seed, but they beat Duke. They beat Baylor. They blew the doors off of Baylor. They beat some very talented teams in this tournament. And, you know, they also beat a very good Florida team. So that team was game. They were physical, and I was very impressed by them, Ryan, because – you know, South Carolina was out physically, you know, they're out physically everyone. They were muscling through the tournament, you know, completely blew the doors off teams in the second half. Too bad they couldn't hit a three, you know, but sadly that was, you know, South Carolina's downfall. You know, they couldn't hit a three. They messed up at the end of the game. Gonzaga just had a little too much firepower for them. Going for who I think has the edge, you know, Ryan, I'm going to switch it up here. I'm going to say North Carolina has the edge due to the fact that they were in the championship last year. They have a chip on their shoulder. They were so close to winning it all. Villanova hit that awesome three, the shot in history. So North Carolina, they've been there before. Gonzaga's never been there before, and they're pissed. They have the chip. So just to be different, I'm going to say North Carolina. And then also my X factor for the game, Ryan, you touched on him earlier. I'm going the small forward, number 41, the big man. I'm going with Jackson for North Carolina. He does have a really nice shot. You know, he came back, as you said, he came back for his junior year just for this moment. And I'm telling you what, they're going to need him to have a big game if they want to have a shot to win this thing. As you said, Ryan, I think you were spot on with the big men. You know, Gonzaga definitely has the inside presence, but they're going to need him to have a pretty goddamn good game to get this victory, and I think he's capable of it. So that's my X factor. And then the last question was
– Andrew, I was going to say –
oh, who has the edge and who's the X factor? So those are my three questions. Ryan, take a step back. I do have another question for you. Just on the games to get here. And I guess this is pretty easy. I did want to ask, who's the biggest loser? I'm going to have to say Oregon on this one. Two reasons. One, South Carolina was a 7th seed. you know, first time ever making the Final Four in school history. That's a big deal, you know, in college basketball. I know, you know, in sports, you know, like to say second place or anything, but, you know, that's a building season. That's something they can tip their cap on. Very impressive. And Ryan, you know, we were shocked at the end of that Oregon game. The fact that they couldn't get a rebound again. And Oregon was one of the most hottest teams in the country. The fact that they absolutely destroyed, you know, Kansas. But, Ryan, how embarrassing was that, not being able to get a rebound? I mean, at the end, they shit the bed. It was a moment too big. Like, who do you think was the biggest loser going in this? If there is one, I know all these teams should be proud, but who is the biggest loser, in your opinion, out of those two matchups today?
Well, out of the two, I was going to go bigger, broad in the tournament, but as far
oh yeah, let's broaden
today,
the whole tournament. Fuck it, let's look at the whole tournament. Of course you're going to go Oregon. They lost in embarrassing fashion. Who is your biggest loser of the tournament in general? Mine's probably maybe be Villanova, but let me get yours.
I'm going to say I have tied three teams, or two teams and one player.
Okay.
I'm going to say Kentucky and Kansas, because clearly those two teams should be in the national title. I think they have the most talent. DeAndre Fox, Malik Monk, I mean, doesn't get much better than
fucking
that.
Fucking Marcus May ruined everything, dude. Bastard.
Yeah, I mean, and Bam and Scott, I also think Calipari is better than once again, he just has a team that could have, like, four guys, maybe three of them going top 15 in the draft, and he can't get to the Final Four. I'm sorry. He could have been running.
How do you only win one ship with all those teams? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to start questioning Calipari as a coach.
But it is tough, man. Bill Self only has one, two. That's another huge loser.
Yeah, I was going to say, Kansas, another team that constantly has talent. I mean, they had Wiggins and Embiid at one point. Embiid got hurt.
And they got bounced in the first round.
For them to lose to Oregon like they did, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They got bounced the first round. To lose to Oregon like they did, it was effort, man. Oregon just out-efforted them. Because Oregon, I mean, it showed tonight with the rebounds. They had no interior presence.
Except fucking Bell, who's a fucking animal. What a great guy.
And damn rebound. Jesus, Bell, what are you doing at the end? Like, come on, bud.
I think they just shit the bed. They were too scared.
Yeah.
I think they just shit the bed. It was too much.
But I also got to say, I think it's Ball who might be the biggest loser of the
tournament. Yeah, not Lonzo, though. I'm saying LeVar, his dad.
Yeah, definitely his dad. And when your son gets 39 points put on him by DeAndre Fox, and just completely.
And he has like fucking 4 inches on them too.
Yeah, and they have to bring in the other point guard to play because you can't hang with them. You're getting a little exposed, and I think a lot of that had to. I know his mom, you know, is dealing with the illness. But when your dad's all over TV blasting how you're better than Michael Jordan and all this, and then you got to go play
He's like Magic Johnson, except he can shoot.
Yeah, I think
okay.
LeVar Ball
better than fucking Steph Curry. Come on, LeVar.
Who picked Brand at the end of their name? It's not Nike Brand. I'm the Nike Brand. Big Baller Brand? What a bad name. What a bad name. I mean, is that a horrible name? Or
yo, I think he got his ideas for his kids' names from the Ninja Turtles. I don't know why. That's what I think. He like tried to name his kids. But, no, I mean, come on. This man said he's equal Jordan in his prime. He averaged 2.2 points per game in college. And then, also, it's funny, Ryan, it finally got leaked. There was some footage leaked of him playing in some sort of, like, small adult league, you know, in some gym. And he was so bad. He was getting manhandled. Also, you know, I don't know if you know this, Ryan, but he used to play for your Jets. He was a defensive end and a tight end because he was a physical monster. And everyone said he just talked a lot of smack and just he just kind of sucked, Ryan. Some of my biggest losers, we shouldn't waste this show on Ball. You got something else for Ball? Let's hear it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's got a reality show coming out, too.
Yeah, reality show.
He's going to ruin his kids.
The kid came out and said that he wanted to stay close to home. He wanted to stay close to daddy, you know, he wanted to play for the Lakers, blah, blah, blah. But if you're an NBA team, do you want to deal with his dad all that shit? Because think about it. The first time he struggles, his dad's going to come out and blame the team. He's going to call out players. He's going to say that the team's going to win the championship.
Call out the coach.
Yeah, call out the coach. Who knows?
Ryan, interesting you bring this up.
And
so the best,
have a target on them.
But yo, the best, it's interesting you brought this up, Ryan. This feeds exactly to your point. Now, the third, the youngest son, the youngest ball, LaMelo, he might be the best. He's a 2019 recruit, I think. He scored 92 points one game. He plays for one of the best high schools. I'm trying to remember what it is. But apparently, the coach came out and said his dad is a nightmare to deal with. He said his dad almost cost him a game because he was trying to run like a man D, and he kept telling him man on man, and he kept telling, he was screaming from the sideline, double team him and trap him. Double team him, trap him. He kept yelling at the kids, and the kids would get confused, and they went and double teamed him. And the coach was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And he kept yelling. He was like, "LeVar, shut the fuck up." And LeVar wouldn't shut up. And also, they asked LeVar not to go into the locker room. He walked into the locker room. He wouldn't listen to the coaches. Now, granted, he's not going to be able to do that in the NBA, but that's a very good point you do bring up, Ryan. I didn't even think about that. Because when we're looking at such a talented draft with so many great prospects, of course, you know, Ball should go top five, top seven. He's got too much talent. But when we're looking at all this talent, Ryan, I mean, when literally we're splitting players by a hair, this could be the type of thing where you take a Monk over him, where you take the point guard from Washington over him, you know, where you take Jackson, you know, so that could be that type of deal. And that's a great point you bring up, Ryan. But, you know, just to switch gears from Ball, because I don't want to talk about that bastard barking on fucking First Take in the morning. I will admit, he is funny for TV. He's entertaining when he talks, but that guy's freaking crazy.
They're gonna make a lot of money off the reality show. I hope.
Yes,
I
really hope he doesn't ruin those kids because they do have a lot of talent. But I will say this: it is, you know, I will say this. I heard, I forget who I heard talking. It may have been Jalen Rose, and you know, a lot of, you know, these players come from poor families where the father isn't there, and him, you know, being there for his sons like that, I do like to say it, but LeVar, you know, stop putting all this extra immense pressure on your kids. It's hard enough. Just you can't be saying, you know, if you put your son on Golden State, he's going to already be better than Steph Curry. Yeah, but I will say this, Ryan. His talent is immense with his size and his skills. He should be a good one. But, Ryan, real quick, I didn't want to touch some of my biggest losers. I have to put Duke up there. I might even have to say this. North Carolina really does need to win this. The ACC in general, we shit the bed. It pains me to say this, but the Florida State Seminoles, all that fucking talent every year. Leonard Hamilton, the amount of talent on that team to lose to Xavier by like 30 fucking points, that was a flat-out embarrassment as a Seminole. I mean, we have Jonathan Isaac, who should be top 10 pick. Dwayne Bacon, who, you know, will go late first, maybe second. Rahsaan Mays, the amount of talent on that team to get beat that bad, just – flat out embarrassment. And then also another one of my, I'm trying to think, there was a couple crazy losses where I just couldn't believe it. The Vanderbilt game was kind of crazy. That was an insane loss. I couldn't believe it, but Northwestern. Yeah. And then I'm going to say, you know, Kansas, Ryan, they had a lot of talent. That was an embarrassment. UCLA's loss, that was an embarrassment. But my biggest one, I do have to say, you know, I know South Carolina made a run, but for Duke to get beat down by South Carolina. That was just terrible. And West Virginia dribbling out the clock. But my biggest loser, though, it has to be Villanova going for the repeat. First number one seed, you get bounced by Wisconsin in the second round. Come on, Nova, that was embarrassing. But, Ryan, something, you know, we are talking NBA, and fuck it, paging Dr. Edwards. You know, folks, yes, the fans who don't know this, Ryan, it's been so hard to keep up with him. I could tell his full wheels are spinning for the NBA. Sir. Folks, no lie, I get like 20 texts a day of some pretty fucking in-depth, and it's not like Ryan's just completely texting like dumb shit. Like, these are in-depth moves that work and make sense, going off talking about teams. And Ryan, I know you're loving it. There's a team right now, a player you can't stand. And, you know, I respect him as a player. He's great. But his attitude, he is kind of annoying with his shenanigans. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, Ryan, they are playing bad right now. Nothing was funnier than LeBron getting elbowed in the back of the head and acting like someone just broke a beer bottle over his head. He got, like, kind of an elbow rubbed on his trap, and he acts like he got hit by a baseball bat. But, Ryan, they're playing bad right now, and they're playing so bad. Like, I get that they're a talented team. They'll probably turn it on to the playoffs, but to what extent? Like, they're too cold. You better get your shit together now, these last seven games.
Just good this year.
They are too cold, exactly. So, Ryan, some of these Eastern teams you've been telling me about, like Miami, like Boston, give me a breakdown of your top five Eastern teams that will be a threat to King James, and if not this year, then next year, and you can kind of see the torch passing. And, Ryan, it's not this year. Do you think LeBron makes his seventh consecutive championship or eighth or whatever it is? Wait, no, four, five, six. Yeah, his seventh. Do you think he makes his seventh consecutive NBA Finals?
I do think he can make it this year. They have to turn a lot of things around. I think it all depends on the matchup and health. I think the number one threat as far as just this year in general, if healthy, has to be Toronto. If Lowry's healthy, because they have T.J. Tucker, who's a LeBron stopper. They have the Junkyard Dog, who they can also throw at LeBron. They have Ibaka. You know, they have, I forget his name, the other big guy off the bench. They have Valencia, whatever his name is. Then they have DeRozan and Lowry, who are playing the best ball of their career before Lowry got hurt. They also have guys off the bench that are just pure scorers. I think Toronto just has an all-around package and the coaching to where, you know, we saw them push the Cavs to six games last year. If they're healthy this year and they can catch the Cavs, let's say, in the Eastern Conference Finals, if the Cavs struggle against maybe Miami and then the Cavs have to play a Boston or Washington, I think Toronto, if Lowry is healthy, because Lowry can put that defense on pretty much any point guard, he's a little pit bull. I think that Toronto is definitely a threat. I think the next team, you have to say Boston. I think Boston did shit the bed by not making a trade. I think
and they might have the best coach in the game, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
like Brad Stevens is one of the best.
Brad Stevens is a wonder kid. He's a fucking magician. If you watch the plays he draws coming out of the huddle.
The Mark Zuckerberg of the NBA?
Yeah, he kind of does look at Mark Zuckerberg. But he might be the best coach, Andrew, in the NBA with Popovich. And there's a couple other guys up there. Steve
Kerr,
obviously. But Boston has the ability to get Jimmy Butler, Paul George, or DeMarcus Cousins this year. Even Nerlens Noel, which you know, the Mavericks got for nothing, because Boston struggles on the boards. All they really have is Big Al Horford, and they could throw Amir Johnson in there too. But they needed one more big man, and they clearly could have got Butler or Paul George. And there was actually news that the Cavs were worried that they were going to make a move, and they didn't. And I think that was a really shit-to-bed moment.
Charted.
I think they put too much respect on the Cavs this year.
Do you think Boston's waiting for someone to come via free agency, like a Blake Griffin or something?
Hayward. I think they're looking at Gordon Hayward. It was his, you know,
his coach,
also.
Yeah.
And then I think if they are going to make a move, I think also you have to think, do they want to give Isaiah Thomas the max in 2018 when he's 30 years old and 5'11", when they might be able to get Markieff Fultz in the draft? I think that's a lot of the thoughts they were thinking of. Do we want to go all in, or do we want to keep these draft picks and just these assets? But I think clearly if Boston would have got Butler or George this year,
Or Blake Griffin.
Yeah, or Blake Griffin, which they probably could have got. I don't know. The Clippers are pretty stubborn, but I think Boston is definitely a team that could get Blake Griffin this year in free agency. But I think Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin are definitely the
Oh, my God. If Boston got those two players, holy shit.
And they could. But Boston, I think the key is they're going to have to make a trade and then get a free agent. Like, let's say they get Gordon Hayward, then they make a trade, too. If they do a signing trade, maybe with Blake Griffin that clears some room, and then the Clippers get something back. Or they could just get Jimmy Butler, who I think needs to go to Chicago. And if you're Chicago, you got to say, you would take the top three picks, and then, you know, obviously maybe a couple other picks from Boston, and then you get an Avery Bradley or a Jay Crowder. I mean, Boston is loaded. So if you look at it, those two guys, I mean, clearly could beat the Cavs. But if they would have made that trade this year, I think they clearly are.
They'd have a chance.
Almost making the one seed now. They have Jake Crowder. They have Isaiah Thomas, who's a clear scorer.
They feel like all they're missing is that superstar, and then they could win a ship.
Yeah. They need that other – Isaiah Thomas is that other guy, but Al Horford's not going to get it done as the second-best guy. But I do think all-around talent-wise and coaching-wise, they can push the Cavs if the Cavs are coming in like they're playing right now. Number three, Andrew, I got to say, obviously, the Wizards. I'll kind of spin through them.
Over the Heat and the Bucks?
I'm going to say the Wizards right now just because Bradley Beal is playing so well. They have the inside game to take out the Cavs.
Hawks, Ryan? You're crazy.
Yeah, definitely over your Hawks. I'm going to skip over them because, you know, we all know how well Wall and Beal are playing. But I'm going to go to a team that me and you were gushing over earlier. And if the Cavs have to catch this team in round one, and don't forget, the Pacers are a sleeping giant, and so are Milwaukee. One of these top four teams are going to have to play the Pacers or Milwaukee in round one. And I think the Pacers or Milwaukee are a bad, bad matchup for Boston or Washington if they have to play. So I'm going to say if LeBron has to play his former team in round one, everyone's healthy, and you got Deion Waiters and Dragic back there in the backcourt making plays, I don't think Cleveland has an answer for Hassan Whiteside. I don't see anyone on Cleveland's roster that's going to be able to out-rebound or stop Hassan Whiteside. Then they have a man named James Johnson, who's close to becoming one of my favorite players. He can pretty much guard LeBron throughout the series. They have Richardson at shooting guard and Ennis and the other Johnson.
And that dude Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson is another monster. I just think they have all the three and D guys they need with Dragic and Whiteside running that pick and roll. If anything, Miami is going to push the Cavaliers and wear them out. If you look at it, Andrew, the Cavs had it so easy last year in the Eastern Conference. They coasted. But there's no way, let's say, that the Cavs have to play Miami in the first round. Second round, they have to play Boston or Washington. And then Washington or Toronto. And then in the third round, they would have to play maybe Boston or Toronto. If that's their road to the Western Finals, then they have to play Golden State. That is going to
be the toughest road they've had in a while. And your fifth team?
My fifth team, I'm going to have to say, I was going to say the Pacers, but I'm going with the Bucks. I think Freak is a guy that can get off. I think this is going to be the playoffs where he emerges as kind of the new LeBron. Even if it's just one series, he's going to show that skill. And Chris Middleton, Thon Maker, have shown when they put those two guys on the court and they started playing them. And
Jabari and Tony Snell had a career high 21
yeah,
or 26
Snow.
Or 21 points the other night. God damn, Chicago. How do you let him walk?
Maybe the rookie of the year, Brogdon, or whatever his name is.
Brogdon from Virginia.
Brogdon, yeah, the point guard. He's long. He gets, you know, now that the Greek Freak doesn't have to play point guard, and they have Middleton back who can shoot with Tony Snell who can shoot now.
And
too.
Ryan, is Jabari healthy or is he out?
No, Jabari's out, but Middleton's making up a lot of those points. And you have to see, Greg Monroe coming off the bench. He kills the Celtics. And I think coming off the bench, he can destroy the Cavs, too. So that's a versatile team. He's not even fully healthy. I call it team futuristic, Andrew, because they have talent everywhere.
I love that team. That's right. I got to agree. That's one of my favorite teams. But after you answer this, I did have another question for you.
I do have to throw this out there. Paul George is one of the best players in the NBA. We all know that.
Yeah.
I want him on my Lakers. Amante Ellis, Thaddeus Young, and Miles Turner, if they get the right matchup and Paul George gets hot.
Oh, and they brought Born Ready back.
Oh, and, yeah. Lance Stevenson, hey, what's up? 3-year deal, which, why do you think they made that move?
It just happened very recently, like this past week.
Paul George happy move?
I think it was, Ryan. You know, they got, what's his name, the big lumber off the team. But I think he is. And, I mean, that's kind of crazy, Ryan. It is it's a ragtag bunch put together. I think, Ryan,
LeBron,
I mean, it's kind of crazy with Paul George. With Born Ready Stevenson, if they can get him back to the track that he was on before he went to the fucking Pelicans, who just kill everyone's career, i.e. look at poor Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, he was the triple-double machine. He was going in. So, I mean, if they can get him back, that's right, a very low risk, very high reward, boom or bust. I mean, if he's not shit, whatever, but if he plays to what he was playing, that could be one of the signings of the year. Even though that's something I did want to ask you about, the true signings of the year. Let's rewind it, and let's talk about the team that me and you have been gushing over, the Miami Heat. Ryan, how is Pat Riley doing this from the outside looking in? I remember you were talking about their strength and conditioning. Let's look back at some of the moves he's made that have paid huge dividends, and he looks like a genius. So he goes, it all started, 3 or 4 years ago? He fucking finds Hassan Whiteside, who had been bouncing around out of nowhere. Who's this guy getting 20 rebounds a game, who's turning into one of the best youngsters? He gets rid of D-Wade. I mean, they even offered D-Wade money. D-Wade wanted more money. He bounced like an idiot. And what does he do? He takes that Wade money and gives it to who? Tyler Johnson. He matches the contract. And Tyler Johnson, you got to love that guy. He came out and said, He threw up when he got offered it. Who was this guy? No one knew who this guy. He's a beast. Then who else does he take a shot on? Deion Waiters, who has completely taken that Wade role and has been fucking amazing. He's been a great signing. And then the newest addition, who you originally told me about, James Johnson. The guy is so fucking athletic. He says he can roundhouse kick the rim on the goal. Someone that big should not be able to move like that. Ryan, I want a GM like the Heat have. How can he identify this talent? What is their secret? How are they developing it? Take a stab at the dark, because it's pretty fucking amazing, the people he's signed and how good they are. And they don't even have Winslow right now.
No, and if you add Winslow to that lineup, and don't forget about Richardson, who's also a lengthy 3-and-D guy, too, who's really good. And now Magruder, or whatever his name is, he's coming off the bench. He's also really talented. This is a team that did what the Clippers should have done a long time ago. They identified their point guard, Dragic, who's become one of the best point guards overnight, if you really look at his numbers in depth. And
warning, about 5-minute warning. 5-minute warning.
And they found a center kind of like DeAndre Jordan and Hassan Whiteside, if you look at the Clipper comparison. But at that point, after that, they found 3 and D hungry players that were out to prove a point, and every guy that goes to the Miami Heat, his body gets better. It's something with their strength and conditioning. James Johnson used to be fat when he played for Toronto.
They found a steroid that's not being picked up.
It's crazy. Look at James Johnson now.
It's the girls in Miami, Ryan. I think that's what it is. It's the bitches in Miami.
And Pat Riley. And don't forget, Bolter is now, and you got to look at him as one of the best coaches also. But all he did was realize this game, the most important thing in this game is we have to beat LeBron. And to beat LeBron, we have to get a bunch of P.J. Tucker-looking, Winslow-looking dudes that can shoot the three-pointer and guard every position. And that's what they got. Then they got their point guard and they got their big man inside. And it's just been a winning formula. This is a team that should have beat Toronto last year, and Hassan Whiteside got hurt. So I think this is a team that could definitely make some noise. And you're out of the top four in the East, the Wizards, Boston, Toronto, and Cleveland. Who do you think the team that's going to get upset in the first round if one of them do?
Oh, the Wizards, Boston, Toronto, and Cleveland. If someone's going to really, I'd have to see the matchups on who it is. But, Ryan, out of all those teams by default, I'm going to have to pick the Wizards. I don't think Cleveland gets bounced. They have too much talent. If they play my Hawks, one thing I will admit that's frustrating with the Hawks, as long as we don't have to play Cleveland, we might have a chance. Ryan, we are a team, when we haven't had Millsap lately, that's been killing us, but we are a team, when we're firing on all cylinders, we are a very good team. We look great one night, and then we look terrible the next. It is an enigma. We do have a great coach.
Do you think Dwight's been worth it?
Dwight has been very good. He has been good. But, Ryan, as me and you know, the biggest problem for the Hawks, we do not have a dominant wing. It's been our biggest problem. And, shooting guard, like, we have some good players coming off the bench. We have some good role players, but we need that super. We need that superstar wing, and we're young, though. I do have to say this: there are some bright spots. Schroeder is starting to get very good. At first, he's been dropping 20-something plus points a game. He is developing now. He can be a little bit of a head case, get that under control. But I'm liking what I'm seeing with Schroeder. Prince has been flashing. He's a gritty defender. He can hit some threes. Granted, he's not there yet, but he has been flashing. Also, Tim Hardaway Jr. is quietly may have been one of the most improved players this year. Now, he is someone we need to bring back as well. Honestly, Ryan, I love the key, though, for the Hawks is Paul Millsap. We got good when we brought in Paul Millsap, him getting hurt. It's scary, though, Ryan. Do I want to bring him back next year? He's 32 years. I'm sorry, Paul. I love you, but I don't want to pay you that much. I want to tank. I wouldn't want to pay him $200 million either, but, you know, I just don't want to bring in that. Honestly, Ryan, as you know, I've been barking up this tree for a while. I really wish we would suck and tank so we can bring some elite-level talent. Ryan, the pieces are there, but sadly, we need, like, two superstars. Superstar and then another star to get there.
Freak away.
Ryan, that still hurts. But I have to say, Ryan, my ultimate sleeper team that I like to win it, that really could upset some teams and make some noise, whoever has to play the Bucks out of those four teams in round one, I think could have some serious problems. I mean, I was roster baiting over this roster. It is amazing. And, folks,
so good.
Pay attention for a part two. Me and Ryan might do a Western Conference breakdown after the East and maybe a little NBA draft talk. But, Ryan, the Hawks really are in a crossroads. It's like we're half foot in, half foot out. And if there's one thing I can count on, and that's for us to fuck up, we should have done the sign and trade with the Greek Freak instead of Lucas Nogueira. We fucked up. We thought he was still going to be there when we picked. And just think, Ryan, if we did that, we would have the young core of the Greek Freak and Dennis Schroeder.
Oh, no.
And I would be a really fucking happy man. Or even if we had Tony Snell, you know, but it is what
he
it is. I'm sad about it, but
this year.
At least I called
White,
the Greek Freak
no
being
sad.
Good.
Freak.
Yeah, we'd be a very, very good team. But it is what it is. I can't think about
the
it much
Lakers
more.